This is the 25th year of my ordination to the priesthood. And as I look back, I have no idea where 25 years have gone. It all seems like a haze. And yet, I have very vivid memories of every one of these 25 years. It's been a wonderful life. It's been truly a great life. It has been a daunting and challenging life project. I can't tell you sometimes how daunting it is. Believe me, it has demanded everything in me the last 25 years. Yet, it has been an awe-filled life. If I get another chance, I would do it all over again. I don't know if I will join the seminary at 17 and a half. I don't know if I'll do that. But I'll do it all over again. Simply put, I am in awe. For Christians, for all of us, there are many paradigms through which we can evaluate life, look at life, reflect upon life. But one of the dominant paradigms we have in the scriptures is that of the call. The call. From our conception until we die, in our origin and pilgrimage towards our destiny, we believe as a people and individually, we believe we are called. In fact, all of life is a response to, an accomplishment of, and the realization of a call. So we have two call stories in today's first reading and gospel reading. Of course, in the second reading, Paul narrates his own experience of his call. And I would like to reflect on these call narratives and the practical implications we can draw from them. But I'm approaching today's homily from the perspective of awe, the awe of the call of God. So first, let me talk about this awe. See, in the first reading and in the gospel reading, we find Isaiah and Peter in total awe. They are in awe of God. First of all, they are in awe of God. In pure awe, as the angels appear, as the scene unfolds, Isaiah simply says, "Woe to me, I am doomed." And the reason is that in the Old Testament, people believe you cannot see God and live. So for him, it's this moment where he's in total awe. Peter was also in awe at what happened, this catch that he has, and he simply falls at the feet of Jesus and says, "Depart from me, Lord." They were awestruck because God is awesome. There's no way to describe God. We can only use analogy. We can only use symbolic language. There's no way in human words to describe the totality, the fullness of God. God is awesome. And this is what we have to look forward to when we enter eternity. The awesomeness of an awesome God. God is so awesome that we will remain awestruck for eternity. We will remain awestruck for eternity. Secondly, there is awe in this, that this awesome God calls people like us, even though our lips are unclean, even though we are sinful. This all-awesome God calls us. Both Isaiah and Peter are awestruck by the fact that the awesome God calls them. They thought themselves as unworthy, but the fact that God called them in spite of their unworthiness leaves them awestruck. And folks, as I look back at my life, 25 years of it, I am also awestruck. And I confess, I've never had the vision that Isaiah had or the experience that Peter had. But believe me, there are times I have fallen on my knees and I've said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. I hope as you look back at your own life that you can see moments where this awesome God has also called you and where you have been awestruck. I hope there have been times in your life when you have fallen on your knees and said to God, please depart from me. Our God is an awesome God. God's call is an awesome call. Folks, secondly, God's call, the way I put it, enhances the dignity of the human person. Let me explain. When it comes to the meaning of human existence, again, there are multiple paradigms. For us, the most meaningful paradigm is life as a response to God's call. In other words, how do we make meaning of our lives? One way to look at it is, I am going to look at it as a response. God calls, it's an awesome call, and then I respond. In other words, we do not believe that human beings are accidental, instinctive, biological creatures merely, right? Like mosquitoes floating around our place. I mean, we are intentional people. We believe that God's call gives human life its dignity. God's call gives human life its meaning. Of course, our dignity comes from the fact that each human person is created in the image and likeness of God. However, that God also calls, not just creates, but after creating, the fact that God even calls enhances our human dignity. In other words, when we stand in the presence of each other, when we stand in the presence of each other, we must stand in awe. And I cannot stress enough the need for us to reflect on the dignity of the human person. Because today we are in a crisis of human dignity. The child abuse crisis in the church and the subsequent crisis in handling child abuse cases by bishops, folks, is a problem of human dignity. I don't know if you read this news today, but I think in Houston Chronicles today, it's this child abuse thing was not just limited to the Catholic Church. There's big news about 700 children who were abused in the Southern Baptist Church. That news just was out today. It's a crisis of human dignity that we do not assign to children the dignity that is due to them. The number of high-profile politicians, celebrities, clergy, and powerful individuals accused of treating women and even nuns as tools is a crisis of human dignity. Other people can be tools for my pleasure. Racism and the ways in which it is manifesting itself in our nation today, it's a crisis of human dignity. The ways in which human life is disposable, from conception to its natural end. I mean, human beings can be done away with. It's a problem, it's a crisis of human dignity. The way immigrants and refugees are demonized, villainized, detained, and treated is a crisis of human dignity. Families belong together, and so the separation of children from their families is a crisis of human dignity. the scandal of poverty and misery, the fact that 1% of the population in the world owns almost all the wealth, it's a crisis of dignity, of human dignity. The pervasiveness and the power of pornography is a crisis of human dignity. So here is what I want to say. As Christians, not giving any human person their God-given dignity, immaterial of nationality, race, culture, religion. Us as Christians, not giving any person their God-given dignity is a grievous sin. Because we are all created by God and we are all called by God. And our dignity flows from that call. Thirdly, since our human dignity comes from being created and called by God, the realization of our human dignity must come from that single pursuit, the pursuit of responding to God's call. Like Isaiah, like Peter, responding to the call not only gives us meaning, but it also makes us understand our own dignity. Really, honestly, folks, we can do so many things in life, but if it was not a response to God's call, then what did we do? Do not life pass you by without discerning your call. Do not let life go by without responding to God's call. Be it your marriage, be it your family, be it your work, be it your life pursuits, be it your relationships, be it your friendships, be it your leisure, pursue it with dignity. The same awesome dignity that our awesome God has given to each one of us. When we stand face to face with God on the last day, when we stand face to face with God, may we be not found wanting in discerning, pursuing, and realizing our call. Isaiah says in today's first reading, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Maybe we should say that to Jesus today, huh? This God who called Peter, the same God is here. Maybe say to our Christ, "Here I am, Lord, send me." People of God said,